obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. God, we thank you for your word. We pray you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of it. We just give you praise. Fill me up, God, with your presence, with your spirit. I pray that I decrease and you increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been in Hebrews 11, amen, just going line by line, precept upon precept. And Hebrews 11 is all about faith. It's called the Hall of Faith, not the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith. And we talked about, amen, the patriarchs of old, the antediluvian patriarchs, looking at Abel. We talked about Enoch, amen. And we are here now talking about Noah as an example of faith. And for those who weren't here, amen, Noah is an example of faith in action. Somebody say faith in action. Amen. That's what Noah was. And Noah, amen, not only believed God, not only talked the talk, but he walked the walk, if you hear what I'm saying. Noah lived in faith, amen, in action, but he also lived in faith in dark days, some very dark days. If you remember, we had a few points in point number one, we just kind of discussed a general overview of Noah and talked about the days he lived in. We talked about the Nephilim. Somebody say Nephilim. And we also talked about the wickedness that was going on in Noah's day. We also moved on, amen, and talked about this second point, things not yet seen. And we talked about, amen, how God warned Noah, you know, of things. Let me see. Let me read it right. Things not seen yet. Amen. And how Noah, amen, and God embarked upon a conversation, and God was telling Noah to do some things, and some things was going to happen, and Noah had never experienced things like that before. God said, I'm going to flood the whole earth, and Noah hadn't seen total judgment before, total destruction before, but Noah still believed God. He told Noah, listen, build an ark. Noah had never seen an ark before, at least not the size of what God was talking about, and we're going to talk about that today. And Noah still believed God. Never saw an ark before like that. Never seen total judgment like that before. And Noah still trusted in the Most High God. He told Noah, listen, I'm a flood. Some commentators say Noah hadn't even seen rain yet. Noah never saw a flood. God talking about he's going to send water from the top of the firmament all the way, opening up the wells under the earth in the depths. Noah hadn't seen that before. But Noah still believed God. And we told you, amen, that in this place, in this time that we're living in, we're going to see some things that we ain't never seen before. We're going to experience some things that we ain't never experienced before. But we got to trust God like we've never trusted him before. Come on, give God some glory. Let me see if that'll work, sound, but I'm going to try to put it directly under me. Amen. And so, amen, we got to believe God, amen, even in the things that we've not seen yet. And so we're going to continue tonight, and we'll talk about points number three and most probably points number four. I'm prepared for five, but I'm thinking we could just do three and four tonight. And we'll talk about prepared an ark, and point number four is to the saving of his house, to the saving of his house. So let's begin with the third point, prepared an ark. And we just come out of verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Somebody say, prepared an ark. Now remember, once again, Noah never seen an ark before, you know, but he prepares one anyway. He steps out on faith, you see. You say, Pastor, what's an ark? An ark, by the Greek definition here, is a wooden box. It's a wooden box. It's a chest used to carry something precious, something valuable. And a lot of times we think of Noah's ark like a boat, and we can't really duplicate exactly what it looks like, but most theologians say it looked more like a box than a boat. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And so Noah built an ark, a big old box, you see what I'm saying? And usually an ark like that, made hollow, usually it would float, all right, to protect the contents, all right? This is the same kind of vessel we will find in Exodus later on that Moses was hid in Egypt. Anybody remember that story when they had to kill all the baby boys? But Moses' mom, she took him and she hid him. She put him in an ark made of bulrushes. And I got that for you in Exodus 2:3. The Bible says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, an ark of bulrushes. And all bulrushes is like a reed, like a swamp grass. And so she took the bulrushes and she wove them into a basket, a box, a container. And the Bible says she daubed it with slime and with pitch. She put mud all on the inside of it and mud between the reeds to make it, amen, waterproof. And then she put the child therein and she laid him in it in the flags by the river's bank. So she put him in the river, in the Nile River, amen. And she put Moses inside of an ark. Somebody say an ark. All right. And so God told Noah to build an ark, even before Moses was ever born. But it wasn't an ark to hold a baby, y'all. It was an ark to hold a remnant of creation. It was an ark to hold the uncorrupted seed of God's original blueprint, his original DNA of creation. Amen. We find that through the Nephilim, creation was corrupted. Huh? And God said, listen, we're not going to redo this whole thing again. I'm going to take samples, amen, of uncorrupted creatures, amen, and put them in the ark. Amen. I'm going to flood everything, destroy everything, and we're going to start again. We're going to start afresh. Amen. And so God told Noah, he said, build an ark and put all the creatures inside of it. Look at Genesis 6:14. We're just talking about the preparation of the ark. Genesis 6:14. All right. Let me turn to it here. You say, Pastor, but it's on the screen. It's just, I just need to turn to it. But in 6:14, here's the command. God says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, right? And we don't know exactly what gopher wood is today, amen? It could have been cypress, amen? But it was something that was really waterproof, something that could survive and withstand, amen, a flood like we're talking about, a cataclysmic flood. He said, make it of gopher wood, all right? He said, rooms shalt thou make in the ark. And so the ark wouldn't be a little baby carriage, amen. It would be something very large with different rooms in it. He says, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Just like with Moses, he would put slime, he would put mud in between the wood planks, amen, to make it waterproof. Okay? Verse 15, he says, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. For those who don't know, a cubit in the Hebrew days was a measurement from the elbow all the way to the fingertips. And when men would work, amen, they didn't have a tape measure, but they all had a cubit. You understand what I'm saying? And for the most part, amen, every man is pretty much correctly, on this size. Now, of course, you got some people, you got some people that might have larger cubits than others, but for the most part, everybody got the same measurement here. So he told Noah, take 300 of these and lay it out, 300 cubits, all right? In our modern metric system, that 300 cubits, amen, is 450 feet long. All right? Because a cubit came out to roughly a foot and a half, 18 inches. Okay? So he said, build an ark 400 feet long. Then he comes back and he says, the breadth of it, the width of it, this is how wide I want you to do it. The breadth of it would be 50 cubits. All right? 50 cubits is 75 feet wide. All right? Now, I remember, amen, when we were putting together the architectural plan for the sanctuary. Amen. I remember that, Migo. Amen. Migo like, oh, don't ask me the exact measurements. No, I'm not going to ask you the exact measurements. Amen. But this sanctuary, amen, is over 100 feet wide. You understand what I'm saying? Over 100 feet. All right? So if you can imagine the ark, okay, the ark, God telling Noah, now I can't give you the length of it, but I can show you what the width of it pretty much looked like. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? He said, build it 450 long, but 75 wide. Could you imagine being in a boat this wide like this? Huh? All right? And he telling Noah to go ahead and build that. Okay? He tells him, hey, God. He says, I want the height of it to be 30 cubits. You say, Pastor, what's that? That's 45 feet high. All right? Now, the ceilings up in here, they normally about, I'd say 14 to 16 feet. 16 feet high. Right across here. Yes, sir. All right? So he told Noah to do what? 45 feet. Okay? So if we're about 15, 16, that's about three of these. You understand what I'm saying? So you can imagine the width of the ark and about the height being three. All right? And we'll find later that he's going to tell Noah, amen, in 16, look, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. So the window would be 18 inches opening. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. There'd be one door in the ark. Place big like that, but one door. Anybody can say claustrophobic? Oh, God, how do we all get out of here in case of an emergency? All right? But God is going to show you that getting out of here is not the big deal. Getting in here is the big deal. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't going to be in a rush to get out. You'll be in a rush to get in. All right? Somebody say one door.
One door.
All right. All right. All right. He said, with a lower, a second, and a what? A third story shalt thou make it. So this boat would be three stories. 75 wide, 450 long. All right? We calculated the amount of wood that it would take to build an ark like this. And it's 15,000 tons of material to make a ship with these measurements. All right? And Noah is given the command to make this thing, all right, in the middle of nowhere, and God tells just him. You understand what I'm saying? God, at least assemble me a team. You know? All right? I got a few pics for you, amen. That's the measurements of it, and maybe how Noah was building it. I got some more pics, amen. All right? All right, just some more pics to show you. All right, that's what the ark would look like, a giant box. Now, stop right there. You see, because when we talk about the ark, a lot of people don't believe that Noah could build something like this. All right? And I want to tell you that the devil is a liar. You understand what I'm saying? This boat was big, but in comparison to what we're doing now, it's not big at all. You see the ark at the bottom? You see? But look at the Titanic, how much bigger the Titanic is. They say the Titanic is almost double the size of what the ark was. But now they're building cruise ships and yachts, the Queen Mary II. Flip another slide for me. They're building, amen, not only that, but just those cruise lines. How many people been on a cruise before? Y'all been on a cruise before? That's some pretty big boats, huh? All right? Most of the time, what you was riding was bigger than the ark, you know? The Titanic, 882 feet long. All right? All right? Look at this other one, the Voyager of Seas. Oh, they just got straight to the punchline. All right. All right, let's bring it. Go ahead, flip it then. Go ahead, flip it. 1,187 feet, some of these cruise liners, y'all. You'd have to lay down four Statue of Liberties just to be. And here we are doubting that God could make an ark. Well, I say if man can make an ark, God can make an ark. Come on, give God some glory, amen. See, my Bible tells me in Matthew 19:26, because some of them say, yeah, Pastor, but the technology we have now, we have so much different materials that they can make these boats with. Noah just had wood. Listen, you don't know what Noah had. Noah had God. You understand what I'm saying? You don't think God could make some aluminum, some concrete? God, Noah had got all kind of material that the earth still hadn't seen. Amen? And so to build an ark in Noah's day might have been impossible for just man. But look what it said. Jesus said unto them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Come on, give God some glory. So I believe that there was an ark. If my Bible said there was an ark and Noah built the ark, I believe that there was an ark. You understand what I'm saying? Now, to build such a work, all right, because there's an ark, a guy, a few people built some arks, you know, around the world, amen. One of them is, in Kentucky, that you can go and see is the Ark Encounter. You can go and see it. Amen. And one of the pictures that we showed is of the Ark Encounter. Amen. That's one that a guy from Kansas built. And so they're building them all over the place, and you can go and see it. And they're using the exact dimensions that God put in, amen, the Old Testament. And believe it or not, after they finish building it, according to the blueprint that God gave, that thing will float. You understand what I'm saying? God knew what he was doing. All right? Now, I just want to tell y'all that, amen, to build something like this, is not cheap. All right? It's not cheap. And so at a low price, amen, they say you could build one for $50 million. Today's price. Low price. You could build an ark for $50 million. Now, that's just for you and your family. You ain't getting no hippopotamus and no elephants on that. All right? For the one like Noah built, amen, we looking at $100 million to build such a boat. All right. And when you consider taking in all the accommodations, the accoutrements, the food for all the animals, some people say we may even crack $500 million to $1 billion to build something like that. All right. Well, what does this tell us about Noah? Huh? What does this tell us about Noah? If God comes to Noah and say, Noah, I need you to build me $100 million boat. And I need you to lay this thing out with food and water and everything these animals going to need. By the time you finish, Noah, listen, you might be looking at $500 million spent. What does this tell us about the man of God by the name of Noah? Noah was wealthy. Noah, God bless the truth, Noah was wealthy. Now, the type of theology some of y'all have, which is stay broke and get to heaven, God would never come to you and ask you to build nothing because your theology has you broke. But if you learn about the men and the women of God in the Bible, they work hard. They started businesses. They were kings and queens and prophets. And so when God needed something on the earth, they were ready for God. God knew who he could go to. Ooh. I want to ask you a question. If God came to you to help save his people, are you in a position to be able to help God and help God's people? Noah could build the ark. Noah could build the ark. You see, you're still on a false religion theology. You get mad when Christians amongst you try to have something and do something. You start to hate on them. You start to talk about, oh, they all about the money. Nah, Negro. We just trying to get ourselves in position so that when God needs somebody. You see, David was a man of substance. And the reason why, amen, Solomon could build the temple is because his daddy, David, left him wealth. You understand what I'm saying? Everything Solomon needed, including the property that David bought when he created the altar, when the angel was slaying all the people of Israel, and he said, I shall not offer to God that which doth cost me none. He bought the land, and that's why they would build the temple. He bought the land, but he saved the gold, the silver. Made the connections to get the cedar from Lebanon. He did everything. Amen? So when God was ready to do a work, everything that God needed was right there. Listen to me, Philadelphia. All right? The time of living off other people is over. The time of being happy with staying home and getting a check is over. The time of cutting corners to get a few pennies from the government is over. We don't even know how much longer the government going to be able to do it anyway. You're not looking at the signs of the times. Listen to me. You got to get in your mind that you're going to have to get ready. You're going to have to put your hands in the mud. And you're going to have to do something for God. So whenever God ready to do something in the earth, he ain't even got to ask you twice. You see, other nations and other people, when God needs something, they ain't got to have all kind of barbecue dinner sale, po' boy sale. That's a people that don't have the heart of Noah. We have here in the scripture, no indication of Noah selling leg quarters. God say, I need an ark, and Noah say, okay. I need you to build it this big, okay. This long, okay. This wide, okay. Put a window here, okay. No talk or anything. Got to get ourselves back in position, Israel. You say, Pastor, you're being hard on us. Pastor, don't be that hard. No, I'm not being hard on you. I'm loving on you right now. Because you don't know what you got inside of you. You don't know the potential that you have locked up on the inside of you. And my job is to motivate that potential out of you. My job is to motivate you. You understand what I'm saying? To take them dreams that you have and to, with the help of God, turn those dreams into reality. Woo! My job is for 5 years, amen, after being in this place, amen. We look at your financial statement and you got houses all over the city of Lafayette. You got apartment buildings. You got different businesses that you're operating in. You understand what I'm talking about? This might be too big for some of y'all. Who is not too big for in here tonight? All right? And the devil gonna lie to some of y'all and talk about, you know, that you too old and stuff like that. Let me tell you something, man. When you get older, you get wiser. You understand what I'm saying? You older is not a bad thing. Amen? Amen? You see, when you're younger, you got more energy, but you waste more energy. Oh, God. You see, the older take less energy and get more done. Hey, God. Tyrone, tell them, boy, Tyrone. On the court, less energy, get more done. Leaving more points in the game. Listen to me, man. All right? Let me prophesy to you for a second. God is going to need his people in a moment. He's going to need his people in a moment. And as things shift in the earth, as the wealth of the wicked begins to transfer to the righteous, you got to have something that you're doing that God could pour this wealth into. Look at your neighbor and say, make room for God. Look at your other neighbor and say, what can you do? Look behind you and say, what's in your hand? Can you do floors? Can you fix a car? Can you? What can you do, man? What's in your hand, man? What you good at, man? Now let's market that thing. Let's market that thing. Let's get that thing going, man. All right? And I'm telling you here right now, a lot of people, man, listen. You know, just because you're making room for God to bless, don't mean you got to quit your day job. Don't quit your day job. Now, a lot of people, I'm telling you, they come out. Well, I'm walking out on faith. Listen, don't walk out on faith until God tell you to walk out. Got a lot of people walking out too soon. They wind up at the bottom of the water, and Jesus looking down and say, I never told you to walk yet. Don't quit your day job. You see, your day job going to provide for your bills. You understand what I'm saying? And your hobby, amen, you're going to nurture it and you're going to grow it. And you're not going to pick off it to eat off of it just yet. You see, when your tree's so young, you can't eat off it just yet. You got to let it grow. You see, when you quit your day job and begin to just rely upon this little tree that you planted, amen, it don't have enough fruit yet to take care of you. You frustrate the plant and you frustrate yourself. You hungry and the plant mad because you taking everything that the plant got. It's just, it's a frustration type of thing. You go from doing it because you love it to doing it because you have to do it and you're trying to feed your family, and it's a different approach to business. When you do business, amen, you want to do business from a position of not starving. There's a difference from being hungry and starving. See, when you're starving, you're not only going to eat everything your little tree produced, but you're going to eat the bark and the leaves too. When you're starving, you're going to take everything out of this business. When this business is in a germination stage, a stage where everything it makes should go back into it. Oh, I think I'm telling them too much. It's a stage where everything it makes should go back. It's not time to feed you off of it yet. It's time to feed itself. It's time that the money, your little money you make with it, go back into it for advertising, for better products, for excellence. You see? But you got this little store, but you eat, no, it's paying your bills at home. If it's taking care of your bills at home, then it can't take care of itself. Amen. The carpets stay dirty. The floors are dirty. The windows are ratchet. It's not excellent. And it's... Oh, y'all ain't ready for that. Y'all ain't ready. Look at you. Tell your neighbor, don't quit your day job. See, some of y'all with a job, you in the best position. You in the best position right now. You're in the best position. You see? And the world will tell you otherwise, yeah. The world will tell you, oh yeah, become a real estate agent, quit your job, become. Oh no. I'ma keep my job. Huh, Patrice? I'ma keep my retirement, my health, everything that's over here. And I'm going to do this on the side. And as I do this on the side, year after year, my clientele build. The houses I sell build. I'm selling bigger houses. Everything is building up. So by the time I'm done with this, this is big enough, strong enough, not only to feed me, but to hold me up. I got a treehouse now. I'm chilling up here. Is this too much for y'all? Noah was a man of substance, y'all. It's time for you to get yours. And don't be coming here with this false Roman theology that if anybody in Christ is trying to get every blessing that they could get from the Most High, that something is wrong with them. Ain't nothing wrong with them. You see? There's nothing wrong with them. You know? That's the crab in a bucket mentality. That's the hater mentality. Because the same one telling you not to get it, they getting it themselves. That's why they got gold shoes and every Michelangelo. But you broke. Look at your neighbor and say, get yours. Look at your neighbor and say, for the glory of God. He gonna say this? Yes, I am about to say this. Y'all forgive me. I'm just in a different kind of mindset tonight. I want to tell you that money matters. Money matters. It really does. It really does. It matters. It does. The Bible said it answered all things. That's what the Bible said. Money matters. And most of the parables that Jesus talked about, he talked about money more than anything else. He talked about money more than hell. And he said, if you're not faithful in unrighteous mammon, if you're not faithful in money, how are you going to be faithful in anything else? The concept is that, man, listen. Stop living like it don't matter. Stop living like it don't matter. Because the reality of it is, when it's time to bury you, it matters. Yeah, yeah, when your children ain't got nothing to bury you with, oh, it matters. It matters. It matters. I'm telling you, it really matters. And you might be older and you don't have the energy to start a business. Look, get your life insurance together, man. Leave them with something. You understand what I'm saying? And something that's wise, you're not even going to leave them with something to bury you with. You're going to add a little something extra on there. Amen. Here, bury me and go ahead. Amen. Buy you some Kleenex for your tears with this. Wipe your eyes with these green tea Kleenexes. Noah had what he needed to build that ark. If God had to come down right now and ask you to do something for his people in these last days, would you be a Noah? Would you be ready? And my challenge to you is, get ready, Israel. Get ready. Get ready. Oh, yeah. You know, we talking about all these things that's going on in the world today, whether it be politics, whether it be shootings and stuff like that that's going on, whether it be how the NBA treating this one, the NFL treating that one, all right? It's hard to have a voice if you ain't got no money. Wait up, I gotta see First Lady Faith. She like, is he going on? Is okay? Okay. Now, Hill, I'm being real with you, Hill. Our people have been organized. They done marched. They done did a lot of things. All right? But one thing they ain't been too good at is getting their l'argent. You see, when you got your money together, you can affect laws. And you can affect elections. Y'all. Broke people don't win, though. That's why they be asking me, they be like, well, you ain't supporting, you ain't. I be like, you're not even serious. They think I'm crazy, man. Philly, go do something. Philly, go do something. Pastor, we try. Try again. Go do something. And I'm praying that you get wisdom not to eat off of what you do. Keep your day job. Keep your money coming in right here. Use that to take care of the bills. You see what I'm saying? You see? And then start your thing on the side. And just let it grow. And just let it grow. And you put in the time. You put in the energy. You know? But you let it grow. You know? And before you know it, the thing you was doing as a hobby, amen, is going to be what bring all the bread in for you to live on. You understand what I'm saying? You see? But Noah was a man of wealth, you know. And listen, I'm not even going to the second point today. I'm not going. That's all I wanted to talk about today. And we ain't got to talk about nothing else. I don't want to talk about nothing else. I just want to talk about Noah had what he needed. They said, drop the mic. I didn't have a microphone to drop. I dropped my glasses. Carlos, come see your boy, Carlos. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Can you take care of children good? Let's start your business. What's in your hand? Can you sing? Can you dance? Man, do something about it. What's in your hand? What did he give you? You have style, you have fashion, you can cut hair, you can do hair, you can teach. What has he given you? You see, you've done it for other people. The same thing your job is using to get you out of you. You can do that for yourself. But don't quit your day job now. What's in your hand tonight? What's in your hand tonight? What's in your hand tonight? That's the kind of change we need in Israel. You see? That all of God's people would be kings and priests. This is the kind of change we need in Israel. That we go home and begin to pray and say, God, what is it that I can do? Well, how can I contribute? Let me pray over you. God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. I don't know why you had me talk about this point in the way that I talked about it, but I'm happy that you are living, God. And I know that faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so many times we talked about Noah and the boat, but we never thought about the materials for the boat, God. We never thought about the planks and the nails. We never thought about, God, all the things that went into it, Daddy. So I thank you that hidden in the text, we found not only a righteous man, a man who found grace in your eyes, but we found a wealthy righteous man. And the two are not mutually exclusive, God. I thank you we don't have to pick tonight whether we're going to be righteous or wealthy, God. But that we could be like Noah, wealthy and righteous. Like Abraham, wealthy and righteous. So God, tonight, I pray over your people. Their hopes, their dreams. I pray over them, their future. I pray over them right now. I pray, God, that seed you've put inside of them, God, that it would bring a harvest 100-fold. I pray, God, that the talent you've given them, that they wouldn't go and bury it, Daddy, but that they would use it, Lord, to bring forth other talents. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, show your people what you've given them to be able to live on and take care of themselves. Father, we all fall on rough times. I'm not judging anybody. But a rough time shouldn't be all the time. Bless us, King. Bless us to be like our forefathers. To be like Noah. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hey! Yeah. Yeah. So when it's time for us to build on university, we're going to have some Noahs in here. You understand what I'm saying? So when it's time for us to finish our retreat center so we can get away when all hell is breaking loose, we're going to have some Noahs in here. I don't know about you, but I plan to be a Noah so that when my church need me, my God need me, I got it. You understand what I'm saying? Church, they ain't got to beg me, lock the door in church. Nah, tell me what you need. I'll bill it. You might say, Lord, make me a Noah. Please bow your head. Close your eyes. Say, God Almighty, I know I fall short of your glory. But I thank you that you sent Jesus. And I believe that he died for all my sins. And I believe that he was buried in a grave. I believe he rose on the third day. Now, Lord, save my soul and bless me. Make me a Noah in the earth. In Jesus' name. Love y'all, Philly. Be blessed.